Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, and the date is August the 3rd in the year of our Lord 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, all by myself here. You can ask any question that you might have on your mind, perhaps from something we said this week, or maybe a biblical passage, and you're unaware of how to interpret it properly. In St. Louis, you just dial 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. So, without further ado, we're going to go to our phone lines right now and begin by talking with Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hello.
How can I help you?
I want to know what the Norman Vincent Peale theology and what your opinion is of the Daily Guidepost. And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Norman Vincent Peale, he doesn't have so much a theology as he has a psychology. He has very positive thinking. And in fact, the Glass Cathedral by Schuller, he was a follower of Norman Vincent Peale. And therefore, it has a lot to do with how positive you should be about your life. Now, from a Christian point of view, I'm not saying you shouldn't be positive about the future because you have God's promises. But if you're going to look at yourself as the individual that's going to make changes in your life, you're sadly mistaken. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no real changes can occur. No real love can occur. For example, Wednesday, we were talking about this lady who was being attacked by members of her congregation because she was against gay behavior. And they would tell her, well, they were born this way and they are good people. That's a very common misunderstanding of humanity, that everyone is a good person. They used to talk about a tabula rasa. That's Latin for a blank slate. You were born, and it is your culture that moves you to sin in different areas. It's not original sin. So therefore, if you were born as a gay person, that's the way God would want you to be. Well, the problem is they don't continue with that thinking because people are born as pedophiles. They're born as serial murderers. They're born as not looking at women as equal to them. There's a lot of things that people have in their original sin, and nobody's going to say in those regard that therefore this is the way you're born and by and large people are good. No, we all fall short of the glory of God, and the cross of Christ and forgiveness is not heard by these individuals who have more of a positive understanding. Now, I'm a little unfamiliar with guideposts, so not having a copy in front of me, I'm not really sure how to respond to that properly. We pastors, we need to be listened to if when we respond, we can do so with objective evidence in the sense of, okay, this is what guideposts say, and this is why we agree or disagree with it. So I'm sorry I don't have a copy of that. If you got a particular thing that was said in Guidepost or written, Lori, don't hesitate to call me again, and we'll be glad to respond to a specific item. In the meantime, anyone else can call with a question they might have on their mind. St. Louis, the number, just dial 821-0850. But anywhere in North America, the toll-free number, 1-800-730-2727. 2727. On yesterday's Law and Gospel, we were real happy that Wes Reimnitz picked a subject that I think a lot of you might have been interested in, because what we had here was the Attorney General of the United States talking about that there needs to be a reversal in this country right now. And a reversal of what? He called it a dangerous movement, undetected by many, is now challenging and eroding our great tradition of religious freedom. There can be no doubt. This is no little matter. It must be confronted and defeated. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute. There's no doubt that there were religious people who did not believe that blacks were human beings. In fact, the Supreme Court ruled that in the sense that they weren't allowed to vote, etc. So much for how good our Supreme Court is in the United States. But Christians defended blacks, true Christians, and of course we had a war over it. But when you say that, for example, people of a gay persuasion fit in the same category, you're making a real mistake here. Being black is something you are born with, and God considers all people as equal. But becoming gay is an immoral action. It's not immoral to be black. It is immoral to become gay. And so therefore the church needs to speak out against immorality regardless of what the Supreme Court says about various items. Okay, phone number is 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. And let's go and speak with Mike. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing? I was listening to you guys talk yesterday, and you mentioned about them two lesbian women that were denied. They were denied to go to that one, I guess it was like a retirement center because...
Here in St. Louis, yes.
Because they didn't recognize their type of cohabitation. They call it cohabitation. They didn't recognize same-sex marriage. Well, you know, at the end of that article, there was a professor from St. Louis University, and he gave his legal analysis of, you know, the ACLU is going to sue for him. And he said that they would first have to file a complaint with the Missouri Commission on Human Rights. And he said that they would probably just, in all probability, they would dismiss it. They wouldn't even be allowed to file a suit. And then if they filed the suit, the next step would be, of course, a file, he said, with the Civil Rights Commission of the United States. And he said they would probably dismiss it too, because there's nothing in the civil rights laws that protects them in that way. And but I still think it's a ploy. I think they want to get turned down because, you know, we're only one state away from that Equal Rights Amendment from being passed. And I got a feeling that if this blue wave comes, like they say in November, and when they pass that Equal Rights Amendment, it'll all be over, you know?
Yeah, I know you feel that way about it. I'm just not up on the understanding of the equal rights, how it's going to affect one way or the other.
No.
But the fact of the matter is, I'm not so sure that they don't have standing in a court. For example, I used to rent homes, and if I publicly advertised my home for rent and then refused to give it to, say, a black person, that was against the law.
Well, that was different, though. That's a different thing. I mean, that's really in the law. But it's really like that one lady you were talking about said they were going to use that Baker decision to try to chip away at gay rights, you know. But I think they're going to use it to their advantage. I think they're going to use it to try to get more pro-gay laws passed, you know. And I think they're hoping that they do lose this case for that reason.
That's interesting. Very interesting point, and I appreciate your call, Mike. It's something for us to be thinking about. I don't get into the politics of things too much, especially not being a lawyer, whether they have standing in the court or not. But I'm sure that the daily newspaper and the news will keep helping us. We move on to our next caller, and that's our good friend, James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing good, and how can I help you today?
Well, we have two good questions for you today.
Oh, well, then you'll probably want to call another program.
No, Pastor, we would like you to answer these questions for us.
Okay.
The first one is, we'd like to know if concord and unity is an absolute moral standard. That's our first question.
If concord and unity are a moral standard, okay?
It's an absolute moral standard, yes. And the second question comes out of Genesis chapter 11, verses 5 through 7. And we'd like to know, is the Lord the author of confusion and disunity?
Author of confusion and disunity.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's out of Genesis 11, verses 5 through 7.
I shall look at that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks so much. And I know he often goes off the line then, listening with his other folks. All right. Is concord and unity an absolute moral standard? I would say no. No. Well, I don't know how many movies you see, but I kind of liked, it was kind of a motorcycle gang, and they did crime all the time. And boy, did they have concord and unity within their organization. If anybody would talk to the police about what they were doing, then there would be a big punishment against them. That concord and unity is not an absolute moral standard that God would appreciate. However, if you're looking at concord and unity, say, within a marriage, then I would say that should be a moral standard. Concord means agreement in those things the married couple should be agreeing on. For example, let's say they have a child. They would have concord in having that child baptized. And unity would mean that you wouldn't cheat on the spouse and be with someone else. So it depends on the situation as to whether concord and unity becomes an absolute moral standard that somebody should follow. And I would say, yes, a lot of times you should, but there are occasions when you shouldn't. It depends on the situation. As to Genesis 11, verses 5 through 7, this is the Tower of Babel. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So the question was, is God the author of confusion? I certainly hope he is. Why? Because I would say that World War II was written because God put confusing thoughts in the enemy's mind. I know in our own Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, at one time we had a whole bunch of professors leave the seminary because they wanted to make a protest against the teaching that we believe and confess. I believe that God was the author of confusion to them because they thought they could come right back onto the campus and continuing their false teaching. Well, a new president had been put in place, Dr. Martin Charlemagne, and he would not let them return to the campus unless they repented. So what they thought was a tremendous idea to get everybody incented on their side, they were totally confused in what was occurring. And therefore, they made decisions that just really, when you look back on it, you wonder who was telling them to do these things. But we thank God that God did confuse their minds, because now there many of them are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America that is okay with abortion, gay marriage, and many other things. They're communing people who don't believe it's the body and blood of Christ. And so this denomination has really become a denomination of great confusion. And I have no problem saying that God was the one involved in that. All right, going on down the line, let's speak with Mary. Mary, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm just calling here, just thinking thank you all for everything. I enjoy listening each day. I was thinking of Luke, the book of Luke, with those two men there in the temple. And I was, your opinion on the two, could it be a twofold? I believe it's a twofold the way I see it, that it did say this man. It didn't say which one. But there was one man that said he did say thank you that I'm not. And the other man didn't say thank you. He just said, I'm glad, I'm just a sinner, you know. And then the other ones, he did say he was glad that he wasn't. Could that be an ego, not egoistic?
I think you're speaking of what's found in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Yeah, the Pharisee. Not all Pharisees were of the, should you say, the grace of grace rather than grace of mankind, you know, then.
Well, this particular Pharisee, remember, his prayer was, I thank you that I'm not like this other man.
Yes, isn't that okay in another fold? If that's okay to.
No, that's not okay, because I don't see a distinction between the sin of the Pharisee and the sin of other men. If you think you are better than someone else.
Not as though I believe in the Lord, as Christ would allow it to be, as his way, as his faith. I'm believing of faith of being born again in the flesh, faith of him, acceptance, that, well, I'm glad. You know, sometimes I look at it, I'm glad. It's happy to be not like. And then if you want to think the other way, as we all have been taught, as you say, Pharisees, not all Pharisees have not converted.
Yes, we do have two that were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They came to faith in Jesus. The distinction Jesus is making is this Pharisee thought he was saved because. No. Let me finish.
All right.
This Pharisee thought he was saved because he was self-righteous, and the tax collector knew he was not saved by his own righteousness.
Sound like Ephesiastic, or what is it, Ephesian preachers.
The what preachers?
Ephesiastic.
Yeah, Ecclesiastic, that just means church preachers.
Yeah, they sound like their sermon. But I'm thinking of a fold, another fold here, saying that it's okay. I mean, not okay, but it can be right to feel of a little ego, maybe a little of Christ.
Well, let me stand with you on this.
I'm just a sinner.
I would definitely thank God for specific blessings that you have received, even though you don't deserve them. And in that way, you can thank God.
I say hallelujah on it. I am deserve of it, to give him credit, not on my own. But I am of the him and I am.
That's an excellent distinction, that when we say the hallelujahs, we're not praising ourselves, we're praising Jesus. Is that correct?
The Christ of Messiah, yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, that's a good insight that you have there. And I was just saying that this man was not praising God at all. He even gives the reasons why he is so good. He fasts twice a week, and he gives tithes of all that I get.
Well, praise the Lord.
Except he's doing it to buy his way into heaven, and
well,
nobody
can see it that way also, but it's such of a thing.
Well, it's not wrong to fast or give tithes, but if you think that's why you're going to heaven, that is a sin.
Well, they say this, and then you can see the other man just saying who he is. He gonna just stay that way. I'm just a sinner. He say, I'm just who I am.
Well, he doesn't stay that way because he says, you know, he beats his breast and he repents.
Yes, he beats it. And
God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Yeah, where repent come in? Spell it.
The what?
Well, I just heard that.
Yeah, you see, the Pharisee did not ask God to be merciful to him because
well, he did say thank you. He would give thanks,
but he wasn't giving God thank you for what he had received, but that he was not like other men
on that fold. Yes,
but he is. He's just as bad a sinner as every one of us.
Yeah, well, so that's Jenny. I think you said something about the confusion of what if he allowed things to happen. But, I'm just giving my opinion. I would call back again.
Well, you keep listening because you've got some good insights. And
well, I had accept that. And I guess you accept your way. And I had really accept that. That's the way I say it in a version of all versions. And I see it that way.
Do you believe you're going to heaven because you're such a great person?
In the Lord.
Ah,
and his self.
That's absolute. If you don't add in the Lord,
yeah, in the Lord with a YOU in it, yeah.
Yeah, but if you say just because of the way I am, that's a very good insight, Mary, and I appreciate your call. Thank you for calling.
Peace.
Okay, peace to you. God bless. That's, you know, I truly believe that all Christians, in their heart of hearts, if you ask the right questions, they'll give the right answers. And Mary was absolutely correct that if she is good enough to go to heaven, it's only because of the Lord. That's found in Matthew 25, by the way, the sheep and the goats, where God is saying to the sheep, you know, I really appreciate your visiting people in prison and helping out the poor and those who need clothing, et cetera, et cetera. But those were all done out of love for Jesus Christ. And any sins they had done were forgiven. And that's why God could look at them and express his appreciation for them. It's quite one thing that God appreciates the works you do through Jesus. It's quite another thing for you to brag about works that you are done apart from faith in Jesus. And that's particularly what this Luke chapter 18 parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector was doing. Listen once more to after the tax collector beat his breast, which is a way of repentance, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now, what was the difference? For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I agree with Mary that there were Pharisees who acted toward God in a humble way. I mentioned two of them. But when they try to exalt themselves, that reminds us of John the Baptizer when he came. Remember, the mountains, the hills are laid low, and the valleys are filled. So there is now a smooth road to heaven. The mountains are referring to those who are exalting themselves, bragging about their works, thinking that God really is going to appreciate them because of what they have done apart from Christ. And that was the attitude of this Pharisee, and that's why God did not at all justify him. Really very, very good point. On our next long gospel, which is Monday, we're going to be taking a look at the readings for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. And there's kind of an interesting statement that Jesus makes. He says, I have not come down from heaven to do my own will. What does that mean if he wasn't coming to do his own will? I'm Tom Baker. On Monday, we'll talk about this. And I pray that you'll hear a wonderful long gospel sermon this coming Sunday. God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.